Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to First Philippine Baptist Church. My name is Pastor James. If you're new here this morning, I want to welcome you. I'm the new senior pastor here. So excited to be here this morning and to worship God and to even hear the reports of God's work in the Philippines. And I'm excited for our church and what we're going to do in our city of Houston. Amen. Before we start, let's pray once again and honor God. Father, we praise you. We glorify your name, for you are the Most High God, the Living God. And when two or three are gathered in your name, you are in our midst. And God, we are in awe of your presence, Holy Spirit. God, I pray that you would humble our hearts and our minds to worship you, to hear your words. And God, if there's anyone here this morning who's carrying burdens, heartaches, and trials, God, I pray that they will look to you. And God, that you would speak so clearly to them. And God, we just want to praise your name and are so grateful to be able to know you as our Lord and Savior through your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us so that we could be made righteous, so that we could have a right relationship with you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for living in us, for guiding us, for encouraging us, for teaching us, for rebuking us, for molding us to be like you, Jesus. And God, this morning we lift up our city of Houston. We lift up people that are broken, people that are in need of hope and forgiveness, in need of community, and most importantly, in need of your salvation. God, help us to be salt of the earth. Help us to be light of this city. Help us shine our light that we have received from your great mercy and love. God, this morning, we lift up all the churches represented in this beautiful city, that you would continue to use them to minister to the people here. And God, bring unity in our church and in all the churches. And God, thank you again for allowing us to worship you in spirit and truth. In Jesus' name, amen. If you could turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. That's what we'll be looking at, chapter 6 mostly. Today's sermon title is Mistaken Identity. Now, we all look in the mirror when we get ready in the morning. And we do this to make sure we feel presentable to the world. And once we step out of the door, do we forget what we look like? Of course not. We don't. Then why is it that when we step out of the door, we forget who we are in Christ? You see, this is the absurdity that James points out in the Bible. In James chapter 1, verse 23-24, it says, "For anyone who hears the word but does not carry it out, is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror, and after observing himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like." Church, when we forget that our identity is in Christ, and instead reflect the identity of the world, as Christians, as followers of Christ, we have what I call mistaken identity. Because again, before we even knew of God's love through Christ and were saved from our sins, our identity was sin and darkness. Because we inherently desire sin and the desires of this world, which is totally opposite to God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." But the great thing is, because of God's great mercy, he chose to save us not only save us, that we are able to believe in Him by faith and become His children. And because of the cross, that wonderful cross, we have been given a new identity in Christ. We have been given a new life, a new spirit. Apostle Paul really paints this great picture of what I'm talking about here this morning in Galatians 2:20. And it says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. What happens when we forget our new identity in God? Well, mistaken identity occurs, and it leads us to a behavior that reflects the darkness of the world. And so when we forget that our identity is in Christ, we show a life that displays our old sinful nature. Again, God calls us to be the light in the world. And our new identity in Christ must exhibit the life of Christ. And when we fail to exhibit our new identity, again, we have mistaken identity. And rather, what people see in our lives now is they don't see Christ, but they see the world. And they can't tell a difference. This morning, as we look at Scripture and allow the Holy Spirit to examine our lives, what aspects of our lives today exhibits a mistaken identity? Are we more of this world? This morning, take a look at what I put up here on top of the stage. And are we more of darkness and the description of darkness? Or are we more of the light and the description of what being part of the light looks like? This morning, what do we do when we have mistaken identity? How can we overcome the darkness that we allow ourselves to get in and the sin that engulfs us, the sin that controls us? Because if we are followers of Christ, how can we again shine God's light in our own lives? How can we shine God's light in our families' lives? How can we shine God's light in our city, in the world? Turn with me in 1 Corinthians. And let's look at God's word for the solution to our mistaken identity and how to overcome darkness. Last week, we began a new sermon series called Light in Darkness. And it's on the book of Corinthians. And Elder Lester preached on unity in chapters 1 through 3. And we learned three lessons about Christian unity. One, Christian unity can only result from being united with Christ. Two, Christian unity begins with humility and ends with joy. And lastly, Christian unity is a powerful testimony of the love of the Father. The book of Corinthians is written by Apostle Paul to the church of Corinth, and that is modern-day Greece. If you don't know where the church of Corinth is located today. And Paul here planted the church of Corinth during his second missionary journey, and the members of Corinth were neither rich, wise, or noble birth. They're just regular folks. And here Paul wrote a letter in response to the reports that he received about the conditions in the church of Corinthian. Again, the church of Corinthian began to place improper value on worldly wisdom and culture, which at that time was probably Greek philosophy and Greek culture. And the problem with the church of Corinth is that they have become more like the world. And they have forgotten who they are, that their identity is in Christ. And again, I want to point out that the Christians in Corinth didn't just sin a one-time sin or made one mistake. No, they were actually participating in worldly culture, in sin, and people couldn't tell the difference. And so Paul wrote to correct the problems he saw. And not only correct the problems he saw, but he also encouraged them of the good things that they were doing. Now, we're going to go through chapters 4 through 9. And as I look at chapters 4 through 9, I see Paul really beginning to tell the church in Corinth what we ought to look like as Christ's people. As if we have Christ in our life, and if our identity is in Christ, this is what we ought to look like. And this is what we shouldn't do. And even in chapters 4 here, Paul begins to tell them that, you know, I have authority because I am an apostle of Christ. And then he begins to tell them to, in verse 16, I urge you then, be imitators of me. And then he begins to tell them, even in verse 6, that I have applied all these things to myself and Apollos for your benefit, brothers, that you may learn by us not to go beyond what is written, but none of you may be puffed up in favor of one against another. Again, the issue in the Church of Corinth is they began fighting one another. Again, they were acting like the world. And here Paul is saying, you have to be imitators of me. And then he continues on in chapter 5, and he talks about sexual immorality that was happening in the church. Now, don't get me wrong. This occurs not only at that time, but it's occurring today in our church. And here, Paul reports to them and says that there's sexual immorality among you in the church. And so he tells them what that's all about. And that he then talks about in chapter 6 that we shouldn't, again, begin to fight with one another. And at this moment in Corinthians, in the church of Corinth, they began suing each other because they had disagreements. And instead of looking at God's word, looking at the example of Christ, they looked at the world's example of how to deal with problems, how to deal with disagreements. And they began suing each other. And Paul said, don't do that. And then he again begins to talk about fleeing from sexual immorality. And the reason why is this. At that moment, the culture was full of sexual immorality. And it still is today. So it makes sense for us in our context and what Paul is saying. And then he continues on and then he begins telling them the principles of marriage in chapter 7. And then in 8, he talks about the issue of idols and food offered to idols. And so as I look at chapters 4 through 9, I see two verses that can sum up what Paul is talking about and trying to encourage the church of Corinth of how to be like Christ, how can our identity be in Christ. And here, turn to 1 Corinthians 6:11, and I titled this Believers versus Unbelievers. It says in 1 Corinthians 6:11, and such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by the Spirit of our God. Again, in chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians, the Corinthian church has forgotten a basic doctrine between the difference between a believer and an unbeliever. And really, they've forgotten that when they partake in sin, when they began to partake in worldly and being boastful and being arrogant in sexual immorality, they're being just like the wicked. They're living a life like an unbeliever. And here, Paul reminds the Corinthian church that for the wicked, judgment is death. Judgment is hell. Separation from God for eternity. And so why are you partaking in that? Why are you even allowing the church to be penetrated by worldly sin? And even as he makes this point and really makes it clearly, he offers them, these are the lifestyles that are common outside the Christian faith. And again, this is what he says. He's not talking about people that occasionally fall into sin, because we all make mistakes. We all fall short. We're not perfect. But he's speaking directly at believers who are just living that lifestyle of the world and not even thinking twice, meaning compromising what the Word of God says. and not standing up for the truth. And so he says, he first mentions sexual sins, the sexual immoral, those who, again, who are having premarital sex, who are or even married or having extramarital sexual relations. And then he talks about idolaters, those who have close associations with people who are sexually immoral. And then he begins to talk about adulterers, those who break the sanctity of marital sexual marital covenant. And then he goes on pagan religions, sexual ritual, homosexuality, those who practice, again, a lifestyle that does not reflect Christ. And then he turns to social sins that the Church of Corinth began to just allow to enter the church. Thieves who steal away life, greed that began to enter the Church of Corinth. And then drunkards who allowed alcohol to control their minds. Again, many of the believers in Corinth once lived this pattern of life. They were of the world, just like we were of the world once, if you are a follower of Christ. But here Paul is reminding that Christ has changed you, that you are new in Christ. The old is gone. But why then are you partaking into this lifestyle of darkness and of sin, of your old sinful nature? And so he paints it out in 1 Corinthians 6, 11. What does it say? He says, but you were washed. And when he says you were washed, he's speaking about that once we were just filth before God, that we were just filthy rags, that we were unclean because of our sins. But when we gave our life to Christ by faith, we were washed. It's like the symbol of baptism, right? That if you remember when you were baptized, you were dunked in water and your old life is gone and your new life has come out. So your new life is in Christ. And not only were you washed, Paul says, you were sanctified. And we learned this in our last sermon series about what sanctification is, that we have been set apart from the world, meaning we're not of this world. We could be in the world, being a light in the world, but we're not of the world. And he says, you were sanctified and brought into a right relationship with God. You see, when we break that relationship, when we partake in sin, we're breaking that relationship with God. In the same way, if I'm married to my wife, Pia, and I then start talking to another woman and having relationship with another one, I'm breaking that relationship. I'm not honoring her. If you think about it, you have a relationship with the living God. A relationship that's even greater than marriage. And so when we break that, we're dishonoring that relationship. And then not only are we sanctified, we have been justified. And this Christian term is so amazing if you think about it, is that you have been declared innocent before God. You have been made righteous before God. Because again, sin separates us from God, for He is holy. But because of His great mercy and love, He chose to die for us, to save us. And when we believe in Christ by faith and give our lives to Him, He justifies us. We have been justified. And lastly, we have been justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Spirit of God lives in us. You see, that Spirit of God is the Holy Spirit Himself, God Himself. We are washed. We have been sanctified. We have been justified. We have been called by in the name of the Lord, and God Himself resides in us. That's our identity, church. We have to be of the light. We have to have unity, joy, humility, God's love, reconciliation. As I looked at our text this morning in the message, I was able to look back in my life. And the truth is, before I really fully committed my life to God, I had mistaken identity. I grew up in church. I was saving VBS when I was 7. But the problem with me was that I did not grow spiritually in the Lord. And instead of being the light of the world, I was living in darkness. And you know what? Thankfully, I was saved. Thankfully that God never gave up on me. Thankfully that I heard the gospel when I was 7. But even in that moment, I wasted so much of my years, church, so much of my youth, so much of my college life, and wasted it to the world. And how many people in my dad's church have looked at me and said, I don't see Christ in James's life. And that was true. This morning, there's probably many of you who are sitting here, and you could really look. Am I displaying of the light or of darkness? Or am I really having this mistaken identity right now? Because I can come to church on Sunday and sing the nice songs because I know the order of the songs. I could praise God. I could raise my hand. But when I leave that door, I go back to my own lifestyle, the same vices, the same things that holds me captive. Paul is urging us this morning, again, the difference that if you are a believer in Christ, this is what you ought to look like. This is what you ought to show in your life, not just on Sunday, but every day. The next verse that Paul really points that explains our identity in Christ is verse 19 of 1 Corinthians. Turn there. It says this, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body." I want to point out that sexual sin is unlike other sins that Christians, you know, make mistakes on. It's unlike any other sin. The reason is that when we partake in sexual sin, it's violating the truth that the body belongs to Christ and that we are united in Christ. So if you are a follower of Christ, Christ lives in you. Amen? You're not of your own anymore. And when you partake in sexual sin, you're dishonoring God who lives in you. Okay, it's not just when you decided not to come to church because you want to be disobedient or you just are just lazy. Or it's not just when you didn't tell the truth to your wife or to your kids. But when you partake in sexual sin, it's like any other sin. Because you're violating the truth that belongs to the unity you have in Christ. Paul began this conclusion of commanding us to flee from sexual immorality in verse 18. What did he say? It says, "Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexual immoral person sins against his own body." He said, flee. There's a story in Genesis 39, if you ever heard this story about Joseph. And how, again, do you know the story of Joseph and how he was sold by his brother into slavery, but God's favor was upon him. And throughout his life, he had ups and downs, but God would continue to have favor upon him. And in this moment, Joseph was, again, being tempted by Potiphar's wife. Because Joseph was a good-looking young man. And again, he had influence. He had God's favor. And one day, as Joseph was getting dressed, Potiphar's wife came in to try to seduce him. Not just once, but more than that. More than that one time. And at the moment, as Potiphar's wife saw him sleep with me, you know what Joseph did to flee immorality? He ran out, butt naked. He just ran away. And you know, after that story, he was framed by Potiphar's wife that, oh, he tried to sleep with me and he was thrown to jail. But you see what he did? He flees sexual immorality. He ran away from it. How many of us struggle with lust, with sexual immorality, or as men, where when Satan uses those arrows to tempt us, to confuse us of what love is, or how many of us run away like Joseph? You see, he ran away. Paul says here right away, flee from sexual immorality. And then he says again, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you? Church, the Holy Spirit lives in us. In the Old Testament, when the Spirit of God would come to people, he would reside, then he would leave. But the beautiful thing now in the new covenant with Christ, that's what he mentioned. Greater is he that will come after me, who will reveal all things to you. God himself lives in us. And so Paul points it out. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, whom you have from God. You are not of your own. You are not of your own. For you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body. I think as human beings, there's this innate desire for us to say, this is my life. You know, even as Americans, we're proud to be independent. We're proud to be self-sufficient. That it's about me, my life, my career. But I think when we gave our life to Christ, we gave it. We didn't lend it. You know, it wasn't a membership where it expires. We gave it. Better yet, the Bible says you were bought. I like that. You said, I'm saying it. We were bought. Because the truth is, no one wanted us. Because we were headed towards condemnation. We were headed towards death. And we're lost. And so, when God looked at us, he saw someone that he loved. He saw someone that needed hope, needed forgiveness. And he bought us. And that wasn't it wasn't just $5, $10, $1 million, or $1 billion. It was the greatest price. Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, who died for you while you were his enemies. I mean, how many of you will die for me? I'm pretty sure none of you guys. I've only been here for a month. But in the same way, I would never give my son Ethan, Jackson, and William for you. I'm sorry, that's the truth. I'm not going to give my son. Man. I'm glad that's in the darkness side. Oh, but stop, because I'm not really funny. That's like... But the truth is, again, church, we were bought. And that our identity is in Christ. Most of us here have probably the new iPhones. I don't. I have an iPhone 5. It's old. You know, what if I said, hey, you know what, Raineon, maybe you have a nice iPhone, and I gave you, and you sold it for $1, and I bought it for $1. It's mine now. Raineon's not going to say, hey, can I have my phone back? Can I play with my apps? No, it's mine. You see, Christ has bought us. Your life is not your own anymore. And I think the problem with us is this. We forget that we've been bought. And so we go back to our old sinful nature. And when we do that, we belittle the great price that God bought us. We belittle who? God who lives in us. And that was happening in the Corinthian church. And the truth is, it's happening in churches today. It's happening in our church today, if we're honest. Paul says, honor God with your body. Honor God with your body. Misidentity leads us to a behavior, again, that reflects the world. When we forget that we are his children, we then reflect the world. We go back to our old nature. This morning as I closed and I called the worship team to come on up, What are you reflecting in your life, church? Are you reflecting more of darkness? Or are you reflecting more of God's light? Because the truth is, when we reflect more of darkness, not only we dishonor God in our lives, but we set an example that hinders the message of the gospel, that hinders our testimony as followers of Christ. Because the truth is, the world is looking at us and they're examining our lives. They're looking how the way we live, the way what we say, the way we raise our children, how we are in social media. They are examining us. And whether you like it or not, they're either going to see Christ in your life or they won't, because they can't tell a difference. And when people followed Christ, when people followed the apostles, when they were seeing God's movement, they saw something different. They saw people not of this world. They saw people of the light. They saw people that genuinely love everyone, no matter what they look like or their background or what happened in their past, that they were willing to forgive someone, they were willing to build a relationship with someone, they were willing to serve someone. FBBC, the bottom line is this. At the cross, we were bought with a great price. Our identity is in Christ and are called to be a light in the darkness of this world. I know you work in secular places where people are looking at your life. Are you being a light? Or are you hiding that light? Because the truth is, darkness shows instead. No self-control, disputes, sexual immorality, divisions. You proclaim the world. You're so proud of the world. You're so proud of your merit and what you've done, your money. You're so proud of what you're doing on social media or your followers. You're proud of the world. Because never once were you proud of who Christ is in your life. Never once were you proud of what He's done in your life and has forgiven you, restored you. We all have been or have gone through mistaken identity. But we have a new identity in Christ. As the worship team sings this song, I want us to take this time to reflect. If God is speaking to you, please allow Him to speak to you. So let's meditate on this song right now.